Welcome to the Jeffers Brief, only on Contra Radio Network.
And another week, another brief. I'm John Jeffers, host, founder, and executive producer here at the Contra Radio Network with exciting news. Well, it is for me. After 5 years of doing Contra Radio Network, it seems I'm on the verge of seeing my vision become a reality. And you're probably saying, John, what are you talking about? I'm going to tell you. You know, for a long time, I've always thought when I first started CRN that we would be able to get a lot of podcasters, offer them stuff that they don't have to do. Well, let's face it. Most podcasters don't want to have to do anything. They just want to get online and they want to be heard. They want the world to hear them. I get that. I understand that. However, when you look at everything involved with it, for example, even if you go to a platform that offers you the ability to do so, not only do you have to purchase the right equipment to do it, but you also have to keep, you know, a lot of people have websites for their podcast. You got to keep that updated. You got to sit there and you got to do your shows. You got to make sure that they're good. Your sound quality is good. People understand it. And you got to try to get listeners. My idea was, why not try to provide that, all of this stuff for podcasters, including monetization, selling ads. Because let's face it, the true believers in the podcast want to be heard. I'm a true believer. I want to be heard. But I'd also like to make a few bucks. Look, I know I'm not going to get rich doing this. I know that. I understand that. I accept that. But after talking to some of the other hosts here on CRN, we've decided to really make a push now. So what's going to happen is this. In the next few weeks, CRN's going to be making a move, a platform move. And I'll tell you why. Because I think, we think we could probably do not just a better job, but make it easier for other podcasters. So what we're going to do is we're going to be moving to Live 365. And you'll be able to hear all our shows. You will. And in between the shows, we're going to be playing the music you like. Now, I tried this once before, and it didn't work out too well for me because I didn't have a lot of support. I had to do it all myself, and it just wasn't taking. So, with some different ideas, different approach, we are expanding. We're going to expand our, shall we say, we're going to expand beyond preppers and patriots. We want to talk about homesteading. We want to talk about gardening. We want to talk about firearms. We want to talk about just the things to help you survive in this world that we live in now. In a world in which the tech giants are consistently deplatforming the conservative worldview, there has to be a place. CRN wants to be that place. You want to do a podcast. You want to be heard. Maybe you have specialized knowledge to do a show. We invite you to come to CRN. Now, you're going to be hearing what we call stringer ads throughout my show and the other shows here on CRN. That's good. It's going to give you some information, give you progress of what we're doing. And as we progress, you will get more information, which is cool. We like that. Now, item number two. At the end of December, for those of you listening to me on KYAH 540 AM out of Delta, Utah, Utah's Talk Authority, our contract is up in December. KYAH has offered us a nice deal. However, what I really want to know and what Don wants to know, what Mark wants to know, because they all have their shows on KYAH. If you're listening on KYAH, do me a favor, would you? It's going to take you a minute or two at the most. Get a hold of me. ContraRadio@live.com. ContraRadio@live.com. That's my email. Come right to me. I want to know this. If you're living in Utah and you listen to us on KYH, let me know. If you don't want us to renew, you don't like the show, that's okay. I can deal with it. I'm okay with that. Again, let me know. That's what I'm asking. Now, some of you want to know, well, what's going on in the world? You know, we don't always do, where is that? Where the hell did that go? There it is. Some of us, you know, sometimes you lose the cursor. I'm going back and forth between two screens going, where is it? Where is it? Anyways, we don't always do the stories you've already heard. We do the stories you haven't heard. And we comment on the in-depth of the stories. All right? This is important stuff. And some of the stuff maybe you haven't heard, and we're going to, you know, touch on it, you know, kind of bait the hook. If you like it, great. If you don't, that's okay too. But what have we got today on tap? You know what we got on tap today? It appears that the Democratic Party is going to vote on censoring Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema for not opposing everything Trump does. Now, she's not a conservative in any way, shape, or form. Now, they're going to hold a vote because they perceive her moderate stances as voting habits as too friendly towards President Trump. And she's not even a closet Republican. In fact, she has opposed Trump 81% of the time. But that is not good enough for her far-left party peers. You know, according to Dan O'Neill, he's a state coordinator for Progressive Democrats of America. You know what? Progressive Democrats. Yeah. Anyways, he told the Arizona Republic, quote, by the way, she is voting is really disappointing. We want Democrats to vote like Democrats and not Republicans, end quote. Now, the fact that a moderate Democrat who opposes the president the vast majority of time is being shamed for representing her constituents instead of the far-left establishment speaks to how far the party has gone, because this is now a party in search of impeachment. Now, President Trump won the state in 2016. Those leading the effort to censure Sinema point to her votes to confirm Trump's nominee, David Bernhardt, for Secretary of the Interior, her vote to confirm William Barr as U.S. Attorney General, and her resistance to joining the effort to reinstate net neutrality. Felicia Rodellini, the Arizona Democratic Party's chairwoman, told The Hill that the party will be hearing the case for a censure, but is unsure that it will pass. Thou shalt march in lockstep. or in the Democrats' case, march in lock goose step. Now, she says, we are a very diverse group, and that means diversity of thought as well, Rodellini said. I don't think it reflects poorly on the party at all. I don't think it's an indication of a fracture. I think it's an indication of a group of people who think differently and have different perspective on the same topic. And that vote will take place this Saturday, for those of you in Arizona. Yes, you know, I can't even say it. For my Canadian listeners, especially those of you in the Yukon Territory, I'm sorry, the Yukon Province, my mistake, we have an update. Now, more details are surfacing surrounding the arrest of senior Canadian intelligence official. Mercedes Stevenson from Global News has done some excellent follow-up coverage on the arrest of RCMP, Royal Canadian Mounted Police, Intelligence Director Cameron Ortiz. Mr. Ortiz is facing 7 serious charges of intelligence violations, including obtaining information to pass to a foreign entity. The intelligence compromise is the biggest scandal in a generation. Well, Canada, welcome to the club. You can see what we've been dealing with the Democrats and their hoaxes. Now, new evidence shows the arrest was a result of a 2018 international intelligence operation that targeted the encrypted communication service known as Phantom Secure. A man named Victor Ramos was the CEO of Phantom Secure, an enterprise that provided encrypted communication devices to criminal agents involved in drug smuggling, money laundering, and human trafficking. Ramos was arrested by the United States FBI officials in Washington State. Don, are you listening? Ramos gave the FBI information about intelligence for sale that was coming from a source deep inside the Five Eyes intelligence apparatus. That information led to the RCMP director, Cameron Ortiz. The scale of the compromise is still being analyzed. Ortiz was director general of the National Intelligence Coordination Center in Canada. In essence, Ortiz was a Canadian equivalent of the U.S. Director of National Intelligence, like, you know, James Clapper, Dan Coats, and had access to the most sensitive intelligence information amid the entire Five Eyes network that includes Canada, the United States, the UK, Australia, and New Zealand. According to Global News, by virtue of the positions he held, Mr. Ortiz has had access to information the Canadian intelligence community possessed. He also had access to intelligence coming in from our allies, both domestically and internationally, RCMP Commissioner Brenda Luckey said Monday. The charges have shaken many people throughout the RCMP, she said in a statement, adding the police force was assessing the impacts of the alleged activities as information becomes available. We are aware of the potential risk to agency operations of our partners in Canada and abroad, and we thank them for their continued collaboration. We assure you that mitigation strategies are being put in place as required. Okay, well, that's nice to know. Now, from his position as Director General of Intelligence in Ottawa, Ortiz would have been able to access almost any sensitive information he wanted. This could include the force's blueprints for covert operations worldwide, as well as the identities of undercover officers, police agencies working within transitional crime groups, officers from the Five Eyes partners used in the RCMP probes, and even witnesses relocated to other countries. We could have passed on our methodologies, our tactics, and our whole covert infrastructure, Major said. If it is true that he is dealing with some of the worst people in the world, they will be looking for what do the police know and how do they do stings on us. So, anyways, that's for you and my friends in Canada, our listeners in Canada. Now, for my listeners in Utah, I've got a question for you. You know, look, I don't live in Utah, never been to Utah, would like to go someday, but not in the winter. I don't like the winter wonderland crap. I hate it. However, I don't understand why you listeners in Utah voted for Romney. Now, granted, I think some of you are the victims of an election bait and switch. I do. But Romney says he's not planning on endorsing in the 2020 presidential race. You know what? I don't believe it. I don't believe a word he says. And neither should you. Now, Senator Mitt Romney, who denounced Donald Trump in 2016 presidential race as a phony and a fraud, whose nomination would ensure Hillary Clinton's victory, stated that he has no plans to endorse anyone in the 2020 presidential race, not in the primary or in the general election. He says, "I'm not planning on endorsing the presidential race," Romney told CNN on September 12th. Why would he even go on CNN? Why would anyone go on CNN? "At this stage, I'm not planning on endorsing the primary or the general," he said. Now, CNN noted that Romney is friends with Bill Weld, a liberal Republican. Yes, those animals do exist. They're not like unicorns, but they're kind of like dodo birds. All right. Hopefully they'll go the way the dodo birds went. But anyways, a liberal Republican and a former governor of Massachusetts who is challenging Trump for the 2020 nomination. Mitt Romney ran against Barack Obama in the 2012 election and lost. We know that. And in 2018, Romney ran for the U.S. Senate and was endorsed by President Trump, who said, "Romney will make a great senator and a worthy successor to Orrin Hatch, and he has my full support and endorsement." In March of 2016, before any Republican had won the nomination for president, Romney gave a speech at the University of Utah where he repeatedly attacked and mocked Donald Trump. He said, "Let me put it plainly. If we Republicans choose Donald Trump as our nominee, the prospects for a safe and prosperous future are greatly diminished. If Donald Trump's plans were ever implemented, the country would sink into a prolonged recession." That's what he said. And he's been wrong the entire time. He says Trump would be very bad for American workers and for families. Yeah, you know what, Mitt? It's really bad that American workers have jobs. It's bad. Imbecile. He inherited his business. He didn't create it. A business genius, he is not. Really? Because he's very wealthy. And if he wasn't a business genius, I don't think he would be able to build on any money that he may or may not have inherited. And since when is it a crime to inherit money from your family anyways? It isn't. So Donald Trump tells us he is very, very smart. I'm afraid that when it comes to foreign policy, he is very, very not smart. I am far from the first to conclude that Donald Trump lacks a temperament to be president. Really? Because it's so much better to have Hillary as president. Think about what we would not have known. How about a coup? A coup attempt. Not a minor coup attempt, a major one. And all the other crap that the Clintons bring with them. Now, Romney continued, "Dishonesty is Trump's hallmark. A person so untrustworthy and dishonest as Hillary Clinton, a person so untrustworthy and dishonest as Hillary Clinton must not become president. But a Trump nomination enables her victory." Oh yeah, he's wrong there again. He says, "Donald Trump is a phony and a fraud. His promises are as worthless as a degree from Trump University. He's playing the American public for suckers. He gets a free ride to the White House and all we get is a lousy hat." That's from CNS reporting on it. I like CNS. They don't hold back. Well, they don't. All right. For the first stinger, I bring you this.
Attention podcasters. Do you want to be heard? Come on board the Contra Radio Network. That's right. We're launching our own network, and we want you to come on board. Bring your podcast and get your voice heard right here on the Contra Radio Network. Details coming soon.
That's right. Details are coming soon. What do we got today? Now, some of you might have watched Lewandowski yesterday testify. I loved it. It was great. It was absolutely wonderful watching it. Let me think what else we have here. What do we want? Hey, how about this for Biden? You guys are going to love this one. Biden claims his plan would put 720 million women to work in a country of 330 million people. Maybe he's talking about China, you know, where he and his son cut a sweetheart deal with the Chinese. Maybe he's thinking about that country and not this one. I don't know. Another day, another Joe Biden gaffe. It never ends. So while speaking at an event in Philadelphia this week, Biden proposed a tax credit for childcare. Okay, that's not a big deal. We've seen that. He said that this would put 720 million women back to work. That would be quite a feat considering there are only 330 million people in the entire country. And according to the Washington Free Beacon, Biden on Tuesday made the incredible claim that his proposed child tax credit put 720 million women back in the workforce. The former vice president was speaking at the Workers' Presidential Summit in Philadelphia, when he made the remarks about his proposal for an $8,000 child tax credit. He said his words made him sound like a wonk. You get a tax break for a racehorse. Why in God's name couldn't we provide an $8,000 tax credit for everybody who has child care costs? It would put 720 million women back in the workforce. It would increase the GDP. And to sound like a wonk here, by about 0.8%, it would grow the economy. Considering only 330 million people live in the United States at all, it is obvious he's incorrect. It's unclear what studies or statistics he may have had in mind. But I'll tell you what, listen to it for yourself.
You get a tax break for a racehorse, why in God's name couldn't we provide an $8,000 tax credit for everybody who has child care costs? It would put 720 million women back in the workforce. It would increase the GDP, to sound like a wonk here, by about 0.8%. It would grow the economy.
Well, there you go. Heard it from the horse himself. So Joe's stumbles are adding up very quickly. And yes, the Trump War Room put out a new video on Tuesday, and it's absolutely brutal. So, let me see if we can find that. I think this is it here. Let's see if we can get it.
President Obama reportedly told Joe Biden directly, quote, "You don't have to do this, Joe. You really don't."
That is not a joke. That is a natural fact.
I think Biden looked unsteady at many points.
Play the radio. Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on at night, the phone.
He's not the most polished speaker anymore.
The president thinks, my friend Vermont thinks that.
Watching his long, winding answers that don't really make sense in recent debates has also raised the question as to whether that has gotten worse and whether he is up for this.
The fact is that the bills that the future president here.
There's a lot of people who are concerned about Joe Biden's ability to carry the ball all the way across the end line without fumbling.
Go to Joe 30330.
He looked kind of unsteady and almost deer in the headlights.
So what are we doing? What's going on right now?
He's not that good at this. I mean, he's clearly not that strong a candidate, thinking on his feet.
Anyway, my time's up. I'm sorry.
I think there are some concerns, and they've been expressed by Democrats themselves.
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
Over whether Joe Biden is equipped to withstand a very grueling campaign.
We choose truth over facts.
Joe Biden was really shaky, both because he was stumbling through his answers.
I'm the Vice President of the United States.
And also because the substance of those answers hasn't really gotten better.
Those details are irrelevant.
I think we're going to see growing questions, wondering if he has the mental and physical stamina to get through this campaign.
I love this place. Look, what's not to like about Vermont in terms of the beauty of it? And what a neat town.
Obama warned Biden's aides to make sure Biden didn't embarrass himself.
Imagine what would have happened if, God forbid, Barack Obama had been assassinated.
Real conversation that is happening among Democrats. Has he lost a step? Is he too shaky?
I want to be clear. I'm not going nuts.
There are definitely moments where you listen to Joe Biden and you just wonder.
Yes. No, we don't just wonder, we know. Remember like Hillary during the campaign with her coughing fits and stumbling and collapsing at campaign stops? Just throwing it out there. Just putting it out there. Oh, my. All right. In the meantime, let me see something real quick here. What am I looking at? Okay. Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows talk about the fallout from the Lewandowski testimony. By the way, Nadler, I thought, was going to, vapor lock right there on the, sitting in his chair. He probably should have. Regardless, Jordan and Meadows appeared on Fox News to discuss the ridiculous committee hearing yesterday where former Trump campaign manager Corey Lewandowski delivered his testimony.
We've been telling you about Corey Lewandowski and his fiery testimony with House Democrats, but that wasn't the only heated exchange on Capitol Hill.
Great place to start would be the Inspector General's report that was issued just 3 weeks ago, the scathing report about Jim Comey. But when I asked the chairman when we might have an opportunity to question Mr. Horowitz, he said, I don't know. I haven't thought about that. Of course you haven't thought about that. Too busy trying to impeach the president. Too busy slapping subpoenas on Corey Lewandowski.
The Judiciary Committee member Jim Jordan joins us now, along with his good buddy Congressman Mark Meadows, both Freedom Caucus members. So, Jim, what was accomplished yesterday?
Well, I thought Corey Lewandowski handled himself very well. And look, he said the same thing numerous times to Republican members of Congress. Asked when he ran the campaign, a part of this campaign, if there was ever any type of coordination or work with Russia to impact the election. He said, no, there wasn't, which is interesting because that's the exact same answer Jim Comey gave us when he sat at that exact same desk and Mark and I had a chance to depose him last year. It's also the exact same answer Bob Mueller gave us when we asked him that question and he sat at that desk just a few weeks ago. So nothing new there, and Corey handled himself very well.
Congressman Meadows, it was the first time I could see the general media that always sides everything against Trump. We're really exasperated by the lack of preparation and objective that Nadler put forward yesterday. Did you sense that too?
Well, it was not only a lack of preparation, but it was a complete debacle. When you look at it, now they're 0 for 2. Remember, they brought in Bob Mueller, and it didn't go as well. And actually, you can make the case that they're 0 for 3. The whole 2.5 years of a Russian collusion narrative that didn't pan out because there was no collusion. Then they brought in Bob Mueller. It was a disaster. Then yesterday with Corey Lewandowski, it was another disaster. But Jim was pointing out a very good thing. It is too standards. You know, they'll bring in a janitor if the president uses the wrong recycling bin to try to disparage this president. But yet when it comes to Democrats and wrongdoing, they don't want to have witnesses. They don't want to have anybody there because they're afraid of the truth.
So now today we understand it's an anniversary of inspector generals. One of them will be Mr. Horowitz. We know that he's been working on FISA abuse. How are you going to cut through the ceremonial portion of the hearing and get to maybe some substantive answers, Jim?
Well, we're going to ask him about the report that we should have had a hearing on, frankly, but Mr. Nadler and Mr. Cummings haven't scheduled it. We'll ask him about the report he released 3 weeks ago. Specifically, I want to ask him a little bit about what took place at the Trump Tower meeting when it was President-elect Trump. Because we always assume they went up there to brief the president on the dossier so they could then leak that information and the press would print the dossier, which we know was complete garbage. But we also learned from Mr. Horowitz's report, they went up to that meeting trying to set up the president, trying to trap the president. Because immediately after that meeting, Jim Comey goes out, gets in his secure car on his secure laptop and starts typing notes. And Mr. Horowitz points out on page 17 and 18 of his report that they were looking to get information about their pending investigation, about the Trump-Russia investigation. All the while, Jim Comey is telling the president, you're not under investigation. So that is so wrong. I want to make sure we get into that a little bit today and a host of other questions as well.
And Brian, let me follow up on that because Jim hits a critical point. What we now have is when Jim and I were in there actually during congressional testimony asking Jim Comey questions, he gave conflicting answers with what the inspector general has reported. So now what we've done is we've gone over his testimony and the inspector general's report, and we find major inconsistencies. So today, hopefully some of that will come out. Now, that's not what the hearing's about because the Democrats wouldn't call him in, Michael Horowitz, to go over this scathing report. But we'll take that opportunity early and often to make sure the truth gets out to the American people.
You talk about the truth. Andy McCabe yesterday said that I will not be cutting a deal if I'm indicted because I did nothing wrong intentionally. I never intentionally misled. Jim, your thoughts real quick?
Well, the inspector general had a little different story, Brian. He said he lied 3 times under oath. So, look, Andy McCabe can say all he wants. All I know is the Justice Department, as was reported last week, is moving ahead. And the Inspector General's report was as clear as it could be. He lied to the Inspector General. Right. He lied to the folks at the Justice Department. I think they got a completely different story there.
I just can't wait. If anyone gets in trouble with the FBI, hey, I didn't do it intentionally. It's no big deal. That's what we're supposed to all learn. Mark Meadows, Jim Jordan, good thing. Glad to see you guys get along for a change. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, all right.
And there you have it. Now you got an idea of where things stand. Now, in case if you didn't realize, in fact, let me take a minute here. I want to call this up if I can find it again. Because I got to tell you, if you missed, and let's face it, congressional testimony is very dry, shall we say. And in case you didn't know, Elizabeth Warren has once again lied to the American people. The New York City parks say Warren overestimated her Monday crowd by at least 10,000 people. Yeah, I believe that. I do. A reporter asked Biden if he'll release medical records. Biden asked him, hey, you want to wrestle? Yeah, okay. Good answer. Let me see. What else we got here? Let me see. We got that one. We know about that. All right, we got that one. You know, you heard about the high school cheerleaders placed on probation for the rest of the year by posing with a Trump 2020 banner. I wonder what they would have got if they had a Biden banner. It makes you wonder. And I'm thinking that perhaps the high school has jumped the gun on that. Just because, well, here we go. All right, here we go. Okay, we got. I got some clips watching from the Corn Lewandowski yesterday. And you want to hear about Nadler just getting crazy about it? This is fun. Listen to this. This is an opening statement by Corey Lewandowski during the hearing.
Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that the testimony you're about to give is true and correct to the best of your knowledge, information, and belief? So help you God. Let the record show that the witness has answered in the affirmative. Thank you, and please be seated. Please note that your written statement will be entered into the record in its entirety. Accordingly, I ask that you summarize your testimony in 5 minutes. To help you stay within that time, there's a timing light on your table. When the light switches from green to yellow, you have 1 minute to conclude your testimony. When the light turns red, it signals your 5 minutes have expired. Ms. Lewandowski, you may begin.
Chairman Nadler, Ranking Member Collins, and members of the committee, good afternoon. I'd like to start off by expressing my hope that today's hearing will be productive in revealing the truth, both to the committee and to the American people. For the record, and as you likely know, I have already testified before Congress on 3 separate occasions. I sat at length with the staff of the special counsel's office. There, too, my time and answers were given freely and without hesitation. I think in one form or another, I have already answered questions for well over 20 hours. So now here I am before the House Judiciary Committee to answer the same questions again. Just last week, this committee, over the objections of the minority, unilaterally changed the rules to make this an impeachment proceeding, which is very unfair. However, in the spirit of cooperation, I am prepared to move forward today. I'd like to start by recounting the events that brought us to this point. My story of joining the Trump campaign, working through a historic election, and continuing to have the privilege to be part of the greatest political movement in our nation's history. I present this summary in the interest of truth and transparency to the American people, the very same reason and rationale that this committee offers as the basis for today's hearing. Growing up in a blue-collar, single-parent family in Lowell, Massachusetts, I learned the value of hard work. And that work ethic helped me to put myself through both college and graduate school, prior to becoming a congressional staffer and ultimately a certified peace officer in the state of New Hampshire. However, the world of politics was always a passion. And in January of 2015, Donald J. Trump, then a private citizen, hired me to help him explore a possible run for the presidency. It was an honor and a privilege to play a small part of such a historic campaign. The campaign started as a small group of individuals helping Mr. Trump to make the decision in June of 2015 to ride down the golden escalator and seek the Republican nomination for presidency of the United States. For more than a year, I served as campaign manager to then-candidate Trump in his historic campaign, where I led a lean and dedicated operation that succeeded in helping him capture the Republican nomination. My job was simple: provide Mr. Trump with my best advice, spend his money like it was my own, and give him the support he needed to win. I also set long-term objectives.
All right, now you got an idea of how that went. It's just the summary. All right, Meanwhile, you have Representative Sheila Jackson Lee out of Texas. She's another one who the feds need to look at because her district is crap. And that being nice. Where did all the federal money go for that? I mean, Sheila Jackson is not the sharpest knife in the drawer. She just isn't. About as sharp as a bowling ball. But you got to hear this. You're going to love it. Listen to Lauren. After Sheila Jackson Lee, she doesn't even ask a question. She's just ranting. And she goes over her five-minute limit. And then listen to what Lewandowski says. You're going to love it, really. It's pretty funny. Actually, it's sad that this has to happen. But anyways, here we go.
He called the Attorney General to ask him to unrecuse himself from the special counsel's investigation. Sessions said no. His White House counsel said there should be no contact with Sessions because of his recusal. So what does the president do? He calls you in to do what everyone else wouldn't do. He called you in to do his dirty work in secret because he knew it was wrong. Well, we will expose the truth. The president cannot hide behind you any longer. And you should be here to be telling the truth,
Lewandowski,
because the truth will set you free and the American people. I yield back.
The time of the gentlelady has expired. The witness may answer the question.
I don't believe there was a question, Congressman.
Very well.
Yes, there was.
Could you repeat the question? I didn't hear it.
I'd be happy to repeat the
question.
Just a rant.
I can't
repeat the question.
I'll be happy to repeat the question.
Gentlelady's time has expired. The gentleman from...
Did you know the Attorney General had recused...
The gentleman from Ohio.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You know, and I love... And that's not just because it's Sheila Jackson Lee, who I think is a buffoon from the word go. However, some of the time, and let's face it, these people that have been in the government, federal government service, supposed to be our employees, supposed to be working for us and representing us. They've been there for so long, they think that they're entitled to act and do and say whatever they want. So when somebody says, I didn't hear it, it was just a rant, I love it because that just sticks it to them and it gets in their craw. You could just hear Sheila Jackson Lee I said a question. And she's trying to get it in and they won't let her in. So you know what I'm saying. It just cracks me up. Now, what else have we got here? Eric Swalwell. He's the one that wanted the California representative who wanted to nuke gun owners. That's how foolish this guy is. Now, he's going to try and get Lewandowski to read something from a report. And Lewandowski says, you can read it. I'm not going to. And at one point in time, you'll hear Lewandowski gives him what we call a chef's kiss when he refers to him as President Swalwell. Listen to this one. You'll love it. Oh, I can't get enough of it.
I'm going to put a slide up, and it's the words that President Trump dictated to you on July 19. Can you read what you wrote down?
I'm happy to have you read it, Congressman.
Well, why don't you want to read it, Mr. Lewandowski?
I think you should afford me the same privilege you afforded Director Mueller.
Would you like to read it?
No, you're welcome to read it.
Are you ashamed of the words that you wrote down?
President Swalwell, I'm very happy of what I've written, but you're welcome to read it if you'd like.
Are you ashamed to read it out loud?
I'm not ashamed of anything in my life, Congressman, are you?
Then why don't you read the words?
Congressman, I've asked and answered your question.
Mr. Lewandowski, why won't you read the words aloud?
I've asked and answered your question, Congressman. If you'd like to read the words, you're welcome to.
Well, you were ashamed to read them out loud, and you didn't deliver those words to the person the president asked you to. Did you have a consciousness of guilt?
I have nothing to be guilty of, Congressman. Thank you.
You still feel guilty today, and that's why you can't read it out loud?
Congressman, you're welcome to read the words if you'd like.
Well, I just wonder why you can't.
I have the capacity to, Congressman. I'll give you the privilege.
You said the president did nothing wrong. Why can't you read those words right now? Why can't you read them aloud?
Congressman, tell me why you hold me to a different standard than the previous witnesses who sat here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Love it. Absolutely love it. But wait, there's more. I know. What do we got? Oh, yeah. And now we got Lewandowski refusing to answer any question from Nadler when it comes about President Trump during the impeachment hearing. So take a listen to this. You'll love it. I guarantee you won't see this on the mainstream media, and they're not going to play it because it makes the Democrats look like the buffoons that they are. Let me see if this is the right one.
You swear or affirm?
Nope, that's not the right one. I don't know if I could find it. Let me see if I can get it here. Hold on.
While being outspent most of the way. The historic campaign helped Mr. Trump secure the Republican nomination out of Santa staffers to be handled for additional conversations with foreign entities, let alone any who are offering to help to manipulate the outcome of an election.
I'm skipping up a little bit here.
During the position, community, special counsel determined the report was purchased in this country, has spent over 3 years and $40 million taxpayer dollars on these investigations, and it's now clear that the investigation was populated by many Trump haters who had their own agenda to take down a duly elected president of the United States. As for actual collusion or conspiracy, there was none. What there has been, however, is harassment of this president from the day he won the election. We as a nation would be better served if elected officials like yourself concentrated your efforts to combat the true crises facing our country, as opposed to going down rabbit holes like this hearing.
Yes.
Instead of focusing on petty and personal politics, the committee focused on solving the challenges of this generation. Imagine how many people we could help, or how many lives we could save. As I stated earlier, I have voluntarily appeared in front of Congress on 3 separate occasions and spoken to members of the special counsel's office for multiple hours. I will continue to be forthright, and cooperative, and I will be as sincere in my answers as this committee is in its questions.
Anyways, Banjo the Wonder Dog running downstairs, so somebody must be around that he's not liking. Oh, well. Oh, there he goes. It must be a squirrel or something. Anyways, I just wanted to run that. Okay, here's a new stinger.
Hey, listen, the Contra Radio Network is launching its own network, and we want you on board. If you have a podcast and you want to be heard, come on board the Contra Radio Network. That's right. Log on to ContraRadioNetwork.com for more details.
There you go. Think about it. Think about what you can do, what you want to do. Now, for you preppers out there, this is an issue near and dear to my heart. And SHTF blog put this out. It's called Bugging Out with Your Best Friend. And I'm not talking about your wife or whatnot. I'm talking about your dog, your animals. If you don't treat your animals like they're part of your family,
you're wrong.
Fix it. All right. Now, you've probably given some thought to bugging out. You preppers, you know what I'm talking about. You may even have a solid kit and a plan. Now, it's relatively simple when you're a single man or woman. When you start adding in children, spouses, and pets, things get complicated. Now, if faced with a situation, you may choose to leave your dog at home to protect the house. Personally, I wouldn't leave my dog at home. She would pee on my nice, clean carpet, get into the trash, jump on the couch, puke everywhere. If the fire police department came by to check on the place, she would either charge them or get hurt or show them where the valuables are. I don't know. Now, I got to tell you, if you have a Belgian Malinois like myself, if you don't give them something to do, they will find something to do on their own. And you may not like their choices that they make. But anyways, Jay Bridger is a contributing author to this. And this is what he has to say. Now, bugging out with your dog has advantages. Dogs are good for your morale. Dogs don't nag or complain. They're just happy to be dogs, if you let them be dogs. They provide security because their ears and sense of smell are sharper than ours. And lastly, they provide protection. If your dog is decently sized, their presence may deter someone from choosing you as their next potential victim. So how do you get ready? I'm going to tell you how to get ready. Now's the time to prepare your dog. You take them camping. I take my dog camping with me all the time. He's never left at home. Wherever I go, he goes. And if I could get him into the restaurants, and I think I can if I really wanted to, I would, but I don't do that to other people. So this will give you a chance to test your bug out bag and see how your dog behaves if you don't know already. You should start training your pooch on the basics, which you should already have. Sit, stay, come, heel, walking on a leash. Another good one is drop it. Now, I can tell you how many times I've been walking my dog and suddenly she is chewing furiously on something she's found and swallowed it before I can ID it. This is something that happens. They do that. That's what they do. They're dogs. Is your dog healthy enough to walk several miles? Walking or running with your dog every day is a good way to keep you both in shape. A trip to the vet to ensure your pup is up to date on immunizations is important. In some states, if your dog bites someone and does not have a recent rabies vaccine, they may be put down. In which case, that's on you, the owner, the caretaker of that animal. If they tangle with a wild animal, it'll be one less thing you have to worry about. So make sure they have a collar with your information on the tag. Keep in mind, tags and collars can slip off. You should consider microchipping, and I did that with my animal. Your furry companion should be on a good flea and tick medication. Already is. It's the humane thing to do and make your life easier too. If your dog is infested, you may be next on the bug tour. Fleas and ticks carry diseases. By the way, that's why you shouldn't kill possums. Fleas and ticks flock to possums, and because of the possum's biochemistry, it kills them. And the flea, and they fall off, and the possum continues on with its life. And it attracts more fleas and ticks, and it kills the fleas and ticks. There you go. So there are many brands and kinds of medications out there, including chewable, collars, medications you apply topically between the shoulders. Know this. The medications you apply topically between the shoulders, it's a neurotoxin. Think about that. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's good. All I'm telling you is the medication, and we've all done it. We've all used them. You sit there, you put it right down between the shoulder blades, right down their back. Right down the spinal column. That's a neurotoxin. Anyways, move on. So you should ask your vet which medication is best in your area, and this will vary by region. Now, let's talk about your dog's kit. You have enough to carry, so keep it simple. Don't overload yourself or your dog. They should carry no more than 10 to 15% of their body weight. Thereby, if you have a chihuahua or a toy poodle or what a small dog, they're not carrying anything. So keep in mind, if their pack gets wet, it will get heavier. Now, when we take the pooch on adventure, we measure out normal amount of dog food. Divide it evenly between 2 1-gallon Ziploc bags. One goes on each side of her pack. In a perfect world, we would store her food in a dry sack, but haven't made the change yet. I've done that. You should do it too. Wet food is heavy. You know this. I would steer clear of it for this application. Now, freeze-dried dog food is available, but is expensive and must be reconstituted with water. You know that. If you know you'll be near a water source, that may be a good option for bugging out. Otherwise, I stick to dry food for the convenience sake. Water is heavy. We use 2 1-liter platypus bags when we won't be near water. Bladders are great because they're lightweight and don't slosh around. If you're near a safe source, your dog can drink creek water without treatment. Keep in mind, your dog can get giardia, but it is not common. To check if your dog is hydrated, pinch some of their skin. It should be elastic and rebound normally. If it doesn't, they are dehydrated. If you hear someone talk about checking skin turgor for tenting, this is what they are referring to. Now, leash is no-brainer. Guys, I have a leash. I don't put it on the collar. I have a harness. I have 2 harnesses for the dog. One is a Molly harness for dogs. Put pouches and everything else on there. They carry that. Another is just a plain, simple harness. Can't attach anything. And that's okay. But I have 2 harnesses. I don't like to use the collar. I find I have more control. And Banjo, the Wonder Dog, is much more comfortable with that as well. Something to think about. Spend a little bit of money on them. Now, leash is no-brainer. We carry 2 12 foot lengths of webbing in case we need some assistance getting the dog up or down a steep scramble. Depending on the weather, you may want to pack something for your dog to sleep on. Cold ground can suck out the heat of them. A blanket, cut down Therm-a-Rest, Z-Lite, or cut down Walmart sleeping pad are good places to start. Now, our dog has a fleece sweater, a down jacket, and a raincoat. It could get pretty chilly on the mountain. And these don't weigh much. Your dog's favorite toy would be a nice addition. Ideally, it's rugged and won't get waterlogged. Our dog likes a hard bone you can stuff treats into. It keeps her occupied when we're setting up a type of cooking. That is true. Especially if you have a Malinois. If you have a dog that is intensely curious and has to be doing something, anything, that's what you do. You keep them occupied. Now, look, I'm not saying that Belgian Malinois is for everybody or Belgian Shepherd. Two different animals. They're two different animals by the way they look, not by the breed, the way they behave. What I'm saying is this. If you think you're going to get a Malinois and turn them into a security machine, guess what? Dogs are like people. Some are very good at what they do. They take to it naturally. Others aren't. Mine, I think he's had some training, and that's why whoever had him dumped him. And that's how I got him from a rescue, a kill shelter out of Kentucky. So, regardless, he's had some training, I've noticed. However, I will say this. Don't expect, if you get a Belgian Malinois, you got to be at least one or two steps ahead of them all the time. Keep an eye on them all the time. Because if they get bored, they're going to go and do something that you don't like. You don't make a decision for them, they'll make their own decision, and you won't like some of the decisions they make. So keep that in mind. All right. There are tons of companies making dog packs. You got Roughwear, which, by the way, is the maker of one of Banjo's harnesses. And Granite Gear are a favorite. Mountain Smith, Easy Dog, and Outward Hound make good packs. I would recommend looking for a used one on eBay. They can get expensive. Make sure it has a beefy lifting strap and drain holes. These get heavy when wet. Our dogs pack bladders, leash, collapsible bowls. You can get those anywhere. I get mine on eBay, the collapsible bowls. Webbing, bedding, fleece jacket, raincoat weighs 5.2 pounds when dry. She weighs 70 pounds, so adding a couple pounds of food and water is well within her weight limit. And you know what? Banjo carry, when we go for our walks, especially in the summer, I pack a collapsible bowl, bottle of water for him, and I also have him carry the first aid kit. Dog and people first aid kit. Oh, yeah. So, you may want to include a small survival kit in your dog's pack for redundancy, water treatment tablets, fire starter, small pocket knife, which would weigh next to nothing, and give you an added layer of security should you lose yours. Now, canine medical, dogs are tough. You need to know that. Dogs have a higher pain threshold than people. Not surprising. Now, according to the author, he says, I had a chubby little beagle mix that got bit on the face by a rattlesnake. She swelled up and laid around for a few days and was good as new. I called up the vet and told me there wasn't anything to do, but some Benadryl may help her feel a little better. If I got bit, I'd probably die or lose a limb. You know what? Before we go any further, Benadryl is great for dogs. They get into everything. And you know what I'm talking about. They get stung, wasp or bee, Benadryl. Because their snouts will... And you look at them going, what in the hell did you get into? You people on the farms, you know what I'm talking about. People in the suburbs with the bees and wasps, you know what I'm talking about. Get a lot of Benadryl. You don't have to get the name brand Benadryl. Go to Dollar General, Family Dollar. They got the generic Benadryl. It works just as well. And keep it on them. Keep it up to date. Don't let it expire. It's true. It really is. All right. Even though dogs are tougher than people, you should seek out medical training specific to canines. You may be able to find a course at your local REI. Even the Red Cross lists some canine first aid classes, something to think about. There is far more advanced training available, but be prepared to pay for it. Techline Trauma in Pennsylvania offers the Canine TC3 course, which is the canine tactical combat casualty care that runs for 2 days and costs $850. You know, maybe we should do a video for that. You know what? On the new CRN, we just may add Contra TV to it, where we can offer you courses such as that. Let me think about this and kind of work on that. I like that idea. It works for me. It really does. Well, how much time have I blown here? Oh, I got time. So anyways, if you have the time and money, do it twice. TCCC is one of the most fascinating formative trainings I've ever had. In the K9 TC3 course, you will learn canine assessment, legal considerations, how to manage penetrating trauma wounds, severe bleeding, poisoning, blunt trauma, airway emergencies, cardiac arrest, IO, IV, IMSQ, intubation, hypo and hyperthermia, and more. The University of Colorado offers a wilderness emergency canine care class for $145, and your vet may also be able to point you in the right direction. Now, there are a lot of canine-specific first aid kits out there. You should have a medical kit, and a lot of the same things will work on your pup. For example, bandages. That being said, you should never assume human medications are okay for dogs. Don't give your dog ibuprofen, aspirin, or acetaminophen, which is Tylenol. Read the labels. A lot of people say you can use hydrogen peroxide to make your dog vomit in case they ingest something poisonous. That may be so, but I've never met a vet who recommended it. Your dog can aspirate the vomit and develop lung problems. Trust the experts on this one. Don't guess. Now, one dog-specific medical advice I would invest in is a good muzzle in case your dog is injured. They won't like it, but it will protect you or someone caring for them. For example, you break your arm. What's the first thing people do when they break a limb? They hold it towards them. They protect it. They do. It's a natural reaction. Dogs are the same way, okay? Now, if your dog is walking on roads or rocks, their paws may become sore or raw. You may consider booties or rubbing paw balm on your dog's feet when you stop. Unless you and your dog are active, chances are you'll both be sore if you're bugging out. Massaging your dog's muscles and stretching them will help prevent soreness and stiffness. There are a ton of YouTube videos about how to stretch your dog. It's easier than you think. If your dog is older and not used to the distance, they'll appreciate it. Other considerations. Keep in mind, for some reason you hit your ride in an ambulance, they may not take your dog. You should be burying or packing out your waste, but now you'll be pulling double duty with your dog's duty as well. If your dog isn't well trained, bugging out will be a headache. You may want to consider an obedience school or trainer. You know what? Train your dog. Don't let somebody else be you during the training. You go to the school. You train your dog. If your dog becomes tired or injured, you may be carrying their pack and them. It happens. Make sure you have a comfortable way to secure it to yours before the time comes. The conclusion is this. Choose to take your pet with you or not. It's a choice you have to make. In most situations, I think the advantages are clear. The companionship and security they provide more than make up for the double duty. You got it? All right. There you go. There you have it. There it is. Where are we? Oh. All right. So I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Jeffers Brief. Hope you like it. Hope you'll follow us on a new platform. We will be announcing that. We are also in the middle of making up memberships. Now, for those of you who have donated, who have already donated and are donating to CRN, we are developing a special package for you. A special package for you. I think you'll like it. So don't get crazy and say, oh, they're moving, I don't want to hear it. Boom, gone. All right? So I'm letting you know. This is what's happening. It will be happening shortly. We're still working on ironing out as a few details, which have to be worked out as we make a switch again to a better platform where I think it'll be much more user-friendly. If you're a podcaster and you're tired of trying to keep up your website, tired of making sure you got listeners and everything else, look at our plan at CRN. We're developing it now. It's going online very shortly. Check us out, ContraRadioNetwork.com. ContraRadioNetwork.com is the website. You'll see it there. So, I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget, if you're listening through it to KYAH, get a hold of me. Tell us if you like our show or not, so we can make a decision whether to extend it. Until next time, I'm John Jeffers.